Our message this morning is found in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Mark 9, 14 through 29. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we just thank you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your everlasting mercy, God. And God, I just pray this morning that you would just speak to us. God, that we would hear your voice. God, that we would hear the word proclaimed, God. And God, I pray that you would just move, that you would touch us where we are. God, that we would hear your voice. God, that we would sense the Holy Spirit moving. God, I pray that I communicate clearly. God, and I pray that we would hear your word and we would be transformed and renewed. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 9, starting in that 14th verse. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And when it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And he answered and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, falling to the ground, and he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out, "I do believe, help my unbelief." And Jesus saw a crowd was rapidly gathering. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. The boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he came into the house, the disciples began questioning him privately, "Why could we not drive it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." I want to talk about dealing. The title this morning is Dealing with Ministry Failure. But really, we could almost apply this for the Christian for any type of failure. But let me preface it. When I talk about ministry failure, I'm not talking about moral failure or failure of integrity. I'm talking about when maybe what ministry doesn't go as planned. How we planned out ministry, it doesn't end up that way. And we can feel disappointed in ministry for countless reasons. I've had my fair share of disappointments, and I bet you have too. No matter how hard we work, things often don't go the way we plan or hope. Perhaps the project that you've put your heart and soul into gets scrapped, or someone drops the ball, leaving you scrambling. You might feel like you can't see the fruit of your countless hours of investment. A tense ministry relationship might come to a head, or your contributions for a ministry or a work could be overlooked. You may find yourself at odds with other leaders over vision and future direction. And increased ministry demands could add tension in your home. Sometimes We might even feel sidelined in the ministry that we're eager to contribute to, or the project that we want to contribute to. Consider John the Baptist's ministry. Jesus wasn't what John expected, or any other Jew for that matter. Instead of taking up a conquering sword, coming as a victorious, a mighty warrior, Jesus turns water into wine. He heals the sick. Surely John could not have envisioned being thrown into prison for publicly rebuking Herod Antipas for his unlawful marriage to his brother's wife, Herodias. Like John, you may be all too familiar with the disheartening feeling that arises when ministry doesn't turn out as you expect. And if you haven't experienced this yet, you will at some point. Throughout my years in ministry, I've encountered various disappointments. Ministry is rarely what we imagine it. But I think largely because we live in a world that is broken and sinful. I often struggle with humility and being a selfless servant, often because of my own pride and the temptation to rely on my own efforts rather than the Spirit's. And there's a common belief today that if we're doing the right things for the right reasons, ministry will align with our expectations. As followers of Jesus, we make daily sacrifices to serve Jesus, which can lead to the false belief that we deserve a smooth sailing ministry. We forget that God is more concerned about shaping us than merely using us in ministry. He's using us in ministry to touch other people. He's shaping us in the process. Okay? In order to get in shape, you would have to go and you'd have to run. And your lungs feel that burn. Your muscles get tired. It becomes difficult work. It's not easy. It's often through these navigating tumultuous waves that we develop endurance, character, and gospel hope, training us to walk worthy of our calling. So remember, ministry doesn't stop when things go as planned. First point this morning is when ministry doesn't go as planned, we turn outward, okay? And what I mean by that is instead of remaining focused on the thing that we were doing or remaining focused on Jesus, we tend to look for reasons why it didn't fail. We begin to blame others. We get upset. We find reasons that the ministry wasn't successful, that we didn't accomplish the things that we want to do. And so in verse 14, what we find is Jesus has come back with Peter and John. They were up on the mountain of Transfiguration, and they've had this experience. God, where Jesus reveals himself. Elijah and Moses shows up. Now they've come back down, okay? And they find the other disciples are arguing with the scribes who are teachers of the law. There's a large crowd around them, and they are arguing with these teachers, okay? And I think that shows us two things. First off, they've taken their focus off Jesus, okay? Instead of being focused in on Jesus and the mission and the ministry of Jesus, they are now being carried away into the crowd. They're arguing with the teachers of the law. And see, one can only imagine what this argument's like. You know, the teachers of the law might have been, these scribes might have been taunting the disciples. Oh, see, you're supposed to be his followers. He's supposed to do this. And you can't even cast out this demon. You can't help this boy. And so maybe they're mocking them, or maybe they're arguing some minute point of the law, or it's practice in everyday life. We don't know, but what we do know is that the disciples there, their focus has been taken off of the ministry at hand, and their focus on external, outward things. So we know they take their focus off Jesus. But secondly, they have allowed the opponents of Jesus, the crowds, to cause them to abandon their ministry. They're no longer teaching. They're no longer serving. They're no longer going out casting out demons. They're no longer doing ministry. They're arguing about it. And we do this sometimes. Things don't go our way, and we begin to blame other people. If they would have showed up, if they would have did this, if this would have happened, we find all these reasons of why ministry wasn't successful. If people had a more sensitive heart, if this could happen, we're at work, and if this person would have worked harder, if this person would have did what I asked to weeks ago, we wouldn't have this problem today. And what happens when we start blaming others? We start looking out where we get caught up in the crowds, we get caught up in all the negativity. It takes our focus off Jesus. It takes our focus off the thing that is at hand here. But Jesus shows up, and immediately the entire crowd saw him and they were amazed and began running to him. Now, it's interesting, okay? The disciples, Mark is a gospel that really moves in two acts. The first act is that the disciples, they don't really get it, okay? And everything is kind of secretive up to that point. But after, where you get this back in chapter 8, where Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living." Well, he doesn't say you're, that's, he says, "You are the Christ." After that, we see that Jesus begins to teach the disciples in private. He begins to reveal himself to them more. But even after this, they still don't quite get it. It's interesting. The crowds run to Jesus when he shows up. The disciples stay over and they're arguing with the teachers. Jesus says, verse 16, "What are you discussing with them?" I mean, that's kind of like when God shows up in the garden, right? "Adam, why are you hiding from me?" He knows what's going on, right? Jesus knows what's going on. He knows that they have taken their focus off. The disciples don't even have a chance to answer here. Because one in the crowd says, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with the spirit, which makes him mute." It's interesting. He didn't bring him to the disciples. He says he doesn't bring him to the disciples. He said, "I brought him to you." Okay? He just blows past the fact that the disciples' ministry of deliverance was not successful there. He said, "I brought you my son, possessed with the spirit, which makes him mute." But not only does it make him mute, look what else. It seizes him and it slams him to the ground. And he foams at the mouth. And he grinds his teeth and he stiffens out his body. And they cannot do it. Okay? Now, as modern people, okay, we look at this and say, "Oh, it looks like this is an epileptic episode. He's having a seizure." Okay? So some scholars have tried to say, "Oh, this isn't really a demon here, but this is he's having a grand mal seizure." And but what that does is they're saying that the ancients didn't have the knowledge, they didn't have the understanding medically to understand what was taking place here. But I think that that sort of thinking minimizes the violence of what is taking place, but it also minimizes the power of Jesus' miracle. And very clearly, it says, the text, it says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Mark writes that the Spirit makes him mute, that the Spirit casts him down, that this demonic spirit is doing this. And so I think, yes, it looks like some type of seizure. It looks like an epileptic episode. And I'm not saying that people don't have this. I'm not saying that every malady that we have, every illness is caused by a demonic thing. But I think we would do well not to go to the opposite extreme and just look at everything and say, oh, well, that clearly is a health thing. We live in a world that where demons are real. The demonic is it happens, and so we see this and we have to acknowledge this. Jesus looks and he said, answer them and said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. Okay. Let me point out, the crowd is witness to the disciples' failure. The crowd saw it. They might even have mocked him. Okay. They've been walking with Jesus. They've been seeing what Jesus does. They see the miracles of Jesus. They've even went out. He sent them out to cast out demons before. This has happened before, okay? They've cast out demons. But now they fail. And sometimes we fail publicly for all to see. Again, I'm not talking about moral failure. I'm talking about ministry just does not go as planned. The things that we did, we poured our heart, our soul in, and it just doesn't work out. Okay? We love on our kids. We give our kids Jesus. We pour into them. We pray for them. And we do these things, and maybe they don't turn out the way they don't stay saved. They don't live saved. They don't live it out. And people look at you, oh, they're supposed to be Christian. What kind of household are they in? Okay. But here's the thing. Don't be like the disciples and get taken in by the crowd or argue with the opponents. Okay. A lot of times we see this and we want to have a reason for it. And we want to argue. We want to, offer reasons why it didn't happen, or we get upset, or we just get taken into the crowd. Well, I guess it's really hard to raise kids. It is hard to raise kids for Jesus, but you know what? It's not impossible. And so we don't give up because something is difficult. Here's the thing. There's still ministry to do. Yes, your kid may going out doing things that no Christian should have. They might not even acknowledge Christ, but there's still ministry to do there. Maybe your ministry failed. It didn't work out the way you thought it was, but there's still ministry to be done. Just because you fell doesn't mean that you don't get up and keep moving forward. Our second point this morning is people need to experience Jesus, okay? People need to experience Jesus. Jesus answered, he answered them, okay? Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring them to me, okay? They're about to have an encounter with Jesus here, okay? Jesus shows up. Now they're going to have a God encounter. They're going to have an encounter with Jesus, okay? Not with the disciples, not with his students. Now they're going to have an encounter with the Son of God. It says that they brought the boy to him in verse 20. And immediately, okay, when he sees him, the Spirit threw him into convulsion, and he falls on the ground and begins to roll around, foaming at the mouth. Okay. This isn't coincidence. It wasn't an accident. It was like, oh my golly gosh, I just can't believe this. He throws himself into a convulsion here. No, he sees Jesus and now he's going to act up. He's going to throw himself into this because he realizes that his time of oppression, that his time of trouble, his time of causing this young child difficulty is coming to an end. Verse 21. And he asked his father, how long has he been like this? He said, from childhood. Okay. So maybe he's more than a young child. Maybe he's a teenager. Okay. Here's the thing. Ministry failure doesn't mean that we stop doing ministry. Just because we fall down doesn't mean we don't get back up. Then he goes on, he says, I often thrown him both in the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. This demon is so wicked, so terrible. Not only is he oppressed this young person. Since he's a child, and he's been giving them these fits that look like seizures, and he's throwing down and he's going rigid and his mouth is foaming. But he's done it when he's near the fire and he's in the water trying to take the very life of this young man. And so if you wonder why we do ministry, and you wonder why we keep doing ministry, because the devil wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. So we don't quit. Why? Because people need to experience Jesus. Jesus, verse 23, he says, said to him, if you can, all things are possible to believe. He's asking him, if you can, really? If you can, if I can, all things are possible to those who believe, Jesus says. He says, you question if I have the ability to do it, but if you believe, it can happen. Then the boy's father cried out. He says, I do believe. Help my unbelief, okay? I believe you can do it. I theoretically, okay? I know that I've heard. The testimonies. I've heard the stories of what you can do, Jesus. I really want to believe it. I've lost all hope and that my son will be made well. And I know you can do it, but I just don't. I lack the faith. I can't do it, Jesus. I've given up hope. Help my unbelief. He struggles. This is an honest response. Lord, I believe you can do it. I just don't think you're going to do it for me. I don't have enough faith that this is going to happen. Help my unbelief. How long have we been there? We've prayed for our kids. We've been praying for this person. We've been praying for this thing to happen in ministry. And we know that God can do it, okay? We know intellectually that God can do it. We know that He's powerful enough. We know we've seen it in the scripture, but yet deep down, oh, it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen with my kid. He might do it for someone else, but it's not going to happen here in this place. It's not going to happen in my home. He asked Jesus, help my unbelief. Here's the thing. The crowd lacks faith. And the man, despite seeing the ministry and the power of Jesus, he lacks enough faith. Here's the thing. Bible teaching is good. We need good theology in our churches. Okay? I firmly believe in good theology. I firmly believe in good teaching. But sometimes people need an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Okay, he's not resurrected here, but for us as believers, modern people, we need an encounter with Jesus to get changed. Okay, we can go out and preach, we can give good people good theology, we can give them Bible verses, we can show them the truth, we can live out the truth, but it isn't a lot of times that they get saved until they have an encounter with Jesus. Everything changes. It's just like the light goes on all of a sudden. And so oftentimes we're focused on what we can do, trying to point them there. And what we need to be saying is, hey, come meet Jesus, come have an encounter with Jesus, and things will be changed. Now the father, he acknowledges his lack of faith. So should we. Okay? Don't try to be super spiritual, overly spiritual. If you're struggling, saying, God, I know you want me to do this. I know you've been asking me to pray for this. I know you've been asking me to do this thing. I've been praying for my kid, but I'm struggling. I've been praying for 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. God, and my kids seems to progressively be getting worse. They're getting into more ungodliness, more hell, more terrible things, God. Help me, help my unbelief. So what does Jesus do? He responds to this man's honest, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And he does this, he heals the man's son. Jesus sees the crowd was rapidly gathering, and he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." I like what he says. Come out of him and don't you dare go back into him again. You know, the idea is I'm going to cast you out and you're going to come back around later on when I'm not here. No. He says, no, not only are you going to come out of him, but you're going to stay out of him. When we acknowledge our lack of faith, it allows God to build us up spiritually. Verse 26, after crying out, throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out of him, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. This demon's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're telling me I have to go, and I know I have to go, and not only do I, you know, do I have to go, but I can't come back. Let me just show you one more time what I'm capable of, Jesus. Okay? So he throws this boy into a violent fit. And so much when he's done, the boy's laying there and it looks like he's dead. You know, one can only imagine what the father is. Oh my gosh. Did the spirit finally succeed in killing my son? Because this is the whisper of the crowds. This is what the crowds are saying. And this is why as Christians, we need to be careful of what we hear the crowd saying. God can't do that. Oh, we see your kid. We see what they're doing. We see how they're struggling. They're not going to get saved. Oh, we know who you are. We've seen this ministry. We've seen it fail. We've seen it fall over time and time again. Why don't you just stop and not do this anymore? This thing that you've been trying to do, the crowds are going to whisper and tell you not to do it. But when we acknowledge our lack of faith, we acknowledge our lack of ability. It allows God begin to build us up spiritually. Brings us to our third point this morning. Ministry requires us to deepen our dependence on Jesus. Okay? Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. He wasn't dead. He was delivered. Sometimes you've had so much going on in your life. When you finally get deliverance, you need a little bit of time just to take it all in, to relax for a moment, to say, to catch your breath. So Jesus takes him by the hand and he raises him up. He gets up. Here's the thing, ministry is not about me. It's not about us. It's about helping others encounter Jesus. And through that process of doing ministry, God is going to work on us. He's going to work on our hearts. He's going to build us up spiritually. He's going to transform us and renew us and change us. Because that's how I don't know how, why or how he does it. I just know that God uses trials. He uses tribulations to change us, to mold us, to make us better. Okay? Here the boy is healed, but this only happens after Jesus shows up. Okay? When we fail in ministry, we turn our focus to Jesus. Okay? And let me point out. They get in the house, verse 28. When they came into the house, the disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? They acknowledge your failure. We couldn't do it. We're confused. You've sent us out to do ministry. You've sent us out to cast out demons. You've sent us out to heal. But yet we couldn't do this one here. Why not? Verse 29, and he came and said to them, "This cannot come out by anything but prayer." Okay? Some manuscripts, okay, say prayer and fasting. When you fail in ministry, turn your focus into Jesus. And that's what he's saying here, okay? Your focus went off. When you failed, you began to argue. When you failed, you began to observe the crowds. When you failed, you stopped looking at me. You stopped focusing in on me. You began to focus on everything else. But when we fail at ministry, okay, now whether that's a moral failure, failure of integrity, or just ministry didn't go as you planned, or as you hoped, or as you prayed, now you have to say, hey, let me turn my focus into Jesus. Success in ministry requires focus on Jesus and a deeper prayer life. Some ministry will require a greater focus on prayer, a greater focus on Jesus. Okay, so a lot of times our failure is not, it's not that God's saying no, it's not that Satan is victorious, it's that we need to go deeper. We need to pray more. We need to seek Jesus more. We need to be more dependent on the Spirit because, again, it's not about my abilities. It's not about my powers. Yes, God gave me certain abilities. He gave me certain talents. He gave me certain things to use, but we don't trust in those. We trust in the one who gave those gifts, who gave those abilities. God, only you can empower me. Only you can strengthen me. God, you have this plan here. I heard it in prayer, but yet we're not seeing it come to fruition. We're not seeing it come to pass. God, let's depend on you. So here's a big idea. When ministry is unsuccessful, turn your focus onto Jesus, okay? When things don't go your way in your home, when things don't go your way with your kids, and you know that God's plan is for them to be saved, you know it's your plan for this, God's plan for this in the workplace, and it's unsuccessful, turn your focus onto Jesus. Don't blame others. Don't have an outward focus, okay? Don't go arguing with others. If you would have done this, if you would have been here, don't do that. I mean, it's one thing when someone tells you they're going to do something and fail. That's a discussion to have, but that shouldn't be your focus. So here's the question this morning. Are you keeping your focus on Jesus? Or are you focusing on the crowds? Are you focusing on the failure? Are you arguing? Are you upset? Are you angry? Do you think that maybe Satan has got the victory? No. Keep your focus on Jesus. And here's a thought. Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe you need to spend a little bit more time in prayer. Maybe you need to spend a lot more time in prayer. Maybe you need to say, hey, you know what? God, I know this is what you have for me. I know this is a ministry that you have. I know that you want to accomplish this. Maybe you need to take a season of fasting, but you need to dig in and you need to deepen your relationship with Jesus. Why? Because sometimes ministry is unsuccessful, and the only way to see it come to pass is turning your focus into Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit have its work. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that ministry failure does it's not a no. It's not that it's not going to happen. God, it's just that I need to go deeper in you. I need to seek you. I need to trust in you. I need to give it to you, God. Like the Father. God, let us just bring these things to you. Let us bring our problems, our plans, our hopes, our desires. God, if we've heard it, let us just bring it to you. Be dependent on you. And God, I pray that we would hear your voice. God, that you would speak to each and every one of us. God, that you would stir up in a deeper relationship with you. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.